every Arizona homeowner's best friend.
And it all has to do with you.
Thanks for tuning in.
It's Rosie on the House, your weekend wake-up tradition.
Farm living is the life for me.
Come on around back, Arizona. It is Saturday morning, 8 o'clock. The outdoor living hour of Rosie on the House, your Saturday morning tradition for 33 years. And if you follow along in our home maintenance calendar that you can get for free simply by letting us know the address you'd like us to mail it to, you know that today, Thanksgiving weekend, November 27th, we've got Farmer Greg in as we do the fourth Saturday of the month, and we're talking edible landscape. And Farmer Greg, before we get into your talking points that we're already not going to get done anyway, because we never get through all your talking points,
right?
You always have so much information to bring. I have to ask you a question about primary water. If you missed our conversation last week with Jay Harper, for anyone else listening, the concept of primary water I stumbled across a couple months ago. And I've asked everybody about it, SRP, CAP. Nobody's heard of this concept. The concept is that below the Earth's crust and the mantle, water is constantly being created in steam form, and it's seeping up into our Earth through the cracks in the crust. It explains how, you know, basically natural wells happen. You know, if you go up to Horton Springs, you've got this endless amount of water coming out of the mountain. Well, that water's not
there.
That water's not coming from above it. You know, otherwise it would have run out pretty quick. When we drill a well to pump groundwater, we have to mechanically pump it. So how is this spring constantly producing water? Well, you know, it's all the steam pressure from the magma pushing this to the surface. And the concept of primary water states that there's 1 to 3 times the ocean volume of water inside the mantle that's constantly being created. What, have you ever heard of this?
I have not. When you asked me about it a couple of weeks ago, I looked it up and I found their website, primarywaterinstitute.org, and I did some reading on it. So that's about the extent of what I know about it. But from a scientific perspective, I'm a scientist. I've been studying plant biology and earth sciences since high school. It makes perfect sense.
It does. And nobody's talking about it. It blows my mind. Now, and the neat thing is, he's not saying that we need to find out how to drill down into the mantle, which, you know, the Earth's crust is like, what, 20 miles deep? You know,
so
he's like, you don't need to do that. You just need to find the cracks and the fissures where it's already close enough to the surface. We just need to punch into those little cracks and fissures to produce these wells. And, you know, if that's the case, you know, you could go all along the Colorado River shed, poke a half a dozen of these holes and just let the water naturally pour into the river shed to fill Lake Mead back up and not wait on the rain and the snowpack. It's absolutely fascinating. So anyway, I wanted your initial reaction to it because, it, like you said, it makes perfect sense when you hear it, but you've never heard this concept before. You know, I don't know why it's not more widely talked about or shared, but anyway.
I don't know. That makes perfect sense.
It makes perfect sense. New project for Rosie on the House. We'll get us some primary water somewhere here in Arizona. Primary
sounds
water
like it's
well.
A new, sounds like it's a new project for Romy on the House.
There you go.
Yeah, that's more like it.
There's a video, and one of the German guys that tried to really bring this into Stephen Reese, I believe. This is, you know, we can date these primary wells back to 930 AD that are still producing water to this day that the Romans drilled. So anyway, it's pretty neat. Could be a real game changer in our water situation. And I ask that because, you know, what does all of our outdoor living guests have in common? Well, everything we do outdoors and grow relies on water. A big part of our topics, and we've got today edible landscape. Let's grow what we grow is what we eat concept. Let's dive into that.
It's never made sense to me to plant something you can't eat. It's like, why plant it and nurture it and water it and fertilize it and maintain it if you can't eat it?
And we were joking about one of the funniest things on that is olive trees and how people have olive trees and then pay to have chemicals applied to it for it not to produce olives.
Olives, yeah. Yeah, and, you know, there are people in town that will come and get those olives. I interviewed one of them, a gentleman, a couple of years ago on the podcast, and that's what he does. He works with people in Phoenix to collect their olives and make olive oil. You know, and Perry out at Queen Creek Olive Mill, they're rock stars out there. They're doing great work. So, yeah, don't poison your olive trees so it doesn't make olives.
If you don't want them, just rip it out and plant something else that you're going to eat.
There you go.
Not a hard concept. So the first step in edible landscaping is?
Mm-hmm. You think like nature. So about 30 years ago, I discovered this concept called permaculture. You guys may have heard me talking about it in the past. It is a thread of everything I think about. Permaculture, I like to call the art and science of working with nature. So how do we plug in and work in the flow of nature rather than against nature? And so when we're doing that, we need to start thinking like nature. And the first thing to do is observe. Spend time in your space. Take your shoes off, walk around your yard, and pay attention. And Romy, what things might you think about paying attention to if you're going to start growing things in your yard?
My first thing, just because we have a lot of animals, is watch where you step.
Oh, well, there you go. Yeah.
Sun.
There you go.
Where's the sun? Where's the shade?
Yeah, exactly. That is a death knell for a garden. If you put your garden in the wrong place, game over. You know, it's just not going to work. And a lot of work for nothing, yeah. So what you want to do is you want to pay attention to where the sun is at. And it's in different places in the sky during different seasons. So, you know, we're coming up on December 21st really quickly. What I tell people to do is set a reminder for noon on December 21st. That's the winter solstice. The sun is going to be lowest in the sky that day.
And it's coming up quick. So you've got a great opportunity to do that. You don't have to wait, you know, half a year to do this, just a month.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, and then the other thing I invite people to do is on March 15th and then on June 15th, do the same thing, or June 21st. I guess it's the 21st, the June 21st. Do the same thing. Get out there and look to see where the sun is at in the sky. That will inform you a lot of, you know, a lot about where the sun's coming from. And then what you want to do is you want to pick the correct solar aspect for your garden. And what I mean by that is put it in the right place in your yard. And it looks like when you're standing in your yard and it's 2 o'clock in the afternoon, where is the sun at? And if it's 2 o'clock in the afternoon and you're in full sun on June 21st, you're likely in what we call a western exposure. Western exposures get sun from noon until sundown. That's going to be the hottest part of your yard. It's not an impossible place to grow, but you want to pay close attention. Another step to take is, do you have a northern aspect? A northern aspect is usually on the south side of your yard. This is where it gets a little confusing. But it's got a northern exposure in that you don't ever get any sun on it. So it's important if you're going to grow groceries, if you're going to grow things, they need to get sun. So if you're planting on the north side of a structure, it's probably not going to get a whole lot of sun. And you're going to have, you know, it's going to be a harder place to grow. So really paying attention to the solar aspect, you know, on a day-to-day, month-to-month basis is going to do you a lot of good. Best place to put a garden is on an eastern exposure. An eastern exposure gets sun from sunup until noon, especially for a summer garden.
And then the afternoon shade, it's, you know, keeps it from getting fried.
Exactly. Exactly. So that's, you know, that's kind of paying attention to where the sun's at. And then we have microclimates. Micro, unless you have a completely flat yard with no structures, no walls, no trees, no anything, you're going to have different microclimates. If you've been hiking before and you kind of hike down into a ravine and it gets like 10 degrees cooler, that's a different microclimate. So what I want you to do is I want you to start paying attention to where it's cooler and where it's warmer in your yard and what is making it that way. So if what's going to make your yard warmer is concrete, gravel, dirt. What's going to make it cooler is shade trees, grass, plants growing. You know, I live in a flood irrigated neighborhood and it's 5 to 10 degrees cooler in the summer here because of all the things that are growing in the space, which is really cool.
And, you know, you said, you know, a flat yard, but I mean, even the eaves, you know, the overhang from your roof, I mean, that can create a microclimate underneath it. I mean, you can test that as well on the occasional cool mornings we might have frost. If you park close enough to your house, if you don't have a garage, that frost won't set in on your windshield. It's the craziest thing, but it, you know, it's a microclimate.
Right. And the next thing we're going to talk about when we come back from the break is soil and creating healthy soil and observing healthy soil to make sure that you're giving your trees a limb up.
It's Farmer Greg. We do this the fourth Saturday of every month. If you've got a question about your backyard edible landscape or anything urban farming related, you can join the conversation at 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE-4U. Text questions can be sent to 411-923, or you can email us at info@rosieonthehouse.com. But I will say this from experience. Usually on Thanksgiving weekend, people are listening. They're not really motivated to do much else, though. A little trip to fan hangover.